Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen, TGIF. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. I cannot begin to tell you how happy I am that it's Friday, and I don't know why, but I just kind of needed it to be Friday today. But so much is still going on, whether it's Friday or not, and we will get to it. And yes, time is just ticking away. It is October already, and we still got this pandemic. But we're going to get through it together. But we've got a lot to deal with, and I'm here to help you, and I bring the help as well. It is the first Friday of the month, and we do an economic update with Mr. Paul V. Shelton of Warwick Shore. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
I am doing well. We do have, like you said, a lot to unpack. There's so much that is going on in our world right now, especially in the economic landscape. So it is crazy where we are right now and how quick we have reached October, the 10th installation of this year, still with the pandemic here with us. So
wow.
Crazy.
Yeah, I was trying to pack the show, as you know, because I issued you a challenge, which I guess we'll get to. We'll touch on it a little bit. We may not be able to delve into it as much as I wanted to because, I mean, events from just the last 24 hours have just thrown things into real chaos. So let's kind of start with that.
Yeah, so go ahead.
Go. Just go.
Yeah, so you're completely correct. Events over the last 24 hours have really flipped everything upside down and kind of hit the reset button and the realization button for others, you know, in our economy right now. Typically, the biggest news that we see coming out on the first Friday of the month is the unemployment numbers, which are very ho-hum, I should say, in the least, and are not trending in the right direction. But in addition to that, what's going to potentially lead to, you know, some worse employment situations in the coming months is the positive test of, you know, the coronavirus, you know, for President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump. So we have a lot to unpack, and I'll go ahead and get started with the unemployment situation as of right now. So as of this morning, it was released for the month of September that we had an increase in 661,000 new jobs added to our economy over the month of September. Now, this is a good number. It's positive. We're going in the right direction. You always want to add jobs to the economy. But the trend that we have seen since the month of June has been downward significantly. You remember, we lost 21 million jobs at the onset of the pandemic there. And in the month of May, we saw a large surge of jobs back. And then in June, it surpassed that. But since then, we've kind of trickled along in July, August, and September. And we're starting to see a decline in the rate of new hires coming back to the market. Also, we're starting to see an increase in layoffs, which is kind of offsetting those new hires. We do have an unemployment rate right now that is at 7.9%, which is down from 8.2% of last month. But unfortunately, it's not down because we've seen a spike in new jobs. It's down because we've seen actually an increase in the participation rate. So there's more people right now that have entered the workforce that are looking for employment. So we have a larger amount compared to last month of people that are in the job pool, you know, looking for more jobs. And with some of the recent shifts that we've seen right now, that's causing the unemployment rate to move in that manner. So I'm going to break down a little bit of you know, what the data has shown us, you know, thus far. We've seen, and this is, I'm going to try to break this down as best as possible in three different groups. Groups of people that have been unemployed for less than 5 weeks, people that have been unemployed for 5 to 14 weeks, we'll label that as like our intermediate unemployment, and those that have been unemployed for 15 to 26 weeks as our third group, and lastly, our long-term unemployed, those that are unemployed over 27 weeks. So with the first group, those that have been unemployed for less than 5 weeks, we've seen an increase in those unemployed for less than 5 weeks by 271,000 over the course of the month of September. There was a decrease for that intermediate range, those that are pretty much 5 weeks to 26 weeks. But there's been the increase by 781,000 unemployed for the long-term range, people that are unemployed over 27 weeks. So what this data is really showing and what it's really telling us is that those individuals that are that were unemployed at the onset of our recession as of now are unable to rebrand themselves or shift themselves to be employed again as of right now, and they may be permanently unemployed, and they may fall into an area where we see there's a structural change or structural unemployment for them that persists for an extended long period of time. The first group, those that have been employed for less than 5 weeks, highlights the fact that we are trending in the wrong direction in our employment market. We're having more and more people that are being laid off than people that are actually, you know, starting to be hired. And this is something that is was seen this week in the headlines. Two of the major headlines that came out this week was that the Disney, you know, one of the big employers here in Central Florida, announced that they were going to lay off 28,000 people. That 28,000 is not accounted for in this number, unfortunately. And another large industry in our area, in the Central Florida area, is the cruise line industry, which the CDC has sidelined the cruises, cruise line industry throughout the month of October. So that has been extended. And the way it looks as of right now, it's more than likely going to be extended throughout the rest of this year and through a good portion of the first quarter of next year. Several of the cruise lines, Carnival, Norwegian, have already announced that they're going to have to lay off and permanently lay off a large portion of their staff, which is going to lead to a further downshift in the unemployment situation, especially locally here in Central Florida. So those are very significant things to really wrap your head around that has all happened, you know, just this week when it comes, you know, to our employment situation, to what's driving our economy as of right now. So
okay.
With that being the, yeah.
Go ahead. No, keep going. you got a lot to unpack.
Yeah, it is a lot here. And the one thing that I wanted to get to real quick, and then, you know, I'll you know, shift it back. But in September, we did see something that was a little bit surprising that took place. And two more things. I'll mention these two things real quick. One of the things was 22.7% of those unemployed persons have teleworked because of coronavirus pandemic, and it's down from 24.3% in August. So it looks like people are starting to go back to offices, and this is measuring over the last that four-week period the number of people that were working in the office and shifted to working via Zoom, let's just say that. So it looks like we're starting to get people back into some of those brick-and-mortar areas and locations, which potentially is a good thing for the economy, but may not necessarily be the best thing. As we can see, at the same time, we've seen an increase in people going back to their physical jobs. We've actually seen 16 states across our union increase in the number of coronavirus cases. So there could be a stark parallel and correlation in there. And lastly, one thing I want to note out from the unemployment data that was released today is that all of the sectors of the economy have added jobs over the month of September, which is a positive thing. Every sector added jobs, even though it may have been a very small amount, everything went in a positive direction except for government. Now, this is something that is very important because the government employment declined by 216,000 jobs. They were one of the leading declines in there, and unemployment in private education also decreased. Now, it is believed that much of the government workers, or a small subset of them, were the Census 2020 workers that were partially offset and declined as they were no longer needed. But a lot amount of those federal workers, a lot amount of those state and local workers fall under the category education, another category of school teachers and employment as support staff at schools and things of that nature. So that really paints a scary picture, not only for the economy currently where we are right now, but for the future of our economy, where we think about there could be a shortage and there could be a disadvantage to some of those elementary school students, middle school students, high school students right now that are being disadvantaged through this pandemic.
Got to keep everybody in prayer. And I just want to kind of emphasize something because we talk about Disney and we bring it in the conversation a lot. People need to understand if you're not a longtime resident, that the impact that Disney has, because Disney came out of nowhere and it planted itself in the wilderness outside of Orlando and Kissimmee, but has managed to make a huge impact on the economy, and not just our economy, but how people from other areas plan their vacations and stuff like that, you know, and children clamoring to go to Disney. So, you know, it made an impact on the whole Central Florida area without even having to be right in Orlando or right in Kissimmee, which people now know how to pronounce his name correctly because probably of Disney. You know what I'm talking about, Paul.
Kissimmee. So, yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. So we're talking about, you know, Disneyland on 28,000 people. Well, not, and I don't know if it's just layoff, but letting go. I heard one woman the other day said she has been, I guess, away from Disney, you know, laid off supposedly, waiting for a call back March, and then this happened. So she's not even sure where she stands. And on top of that, the fact that Governor DeSantis has decided to not put the restrictions on evictions anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a whole nother economic issue with that.
Yeah, we do. And that's something that is really scary. And getting to your first point there with those early Disney employees that were laid off, many of the Disney employees were furloughed, which allowed them to keep their benefits and their health care and insurance and things of that nature early on. And the move that Disney is making now, and I listened to the call, is they're in a position where it's no longer financially feasible to keep these furloughed employees on staff at this point, and they're moving to having to reduce the staff, to reduce the cost when it comes to insurance, to reduce all of that overhead. Disneyland in California is still closed, even though Disney World here locally is operating under a reduced capacity, but Disneyland is still closed. And there are a lot of people that were on furlough that are now going to just be permanently unemployed. And as you said, this comes at a time where those eviction moratoriums expired on Wednesday, September 30th. So we have a significant amount of people that were, that fell past due or that were struggling to keep up with their mortgage, with their rent, could potentially, you know, face a very, very serious and dire situation, very serious and dire situation as that eviction moratorium is no longer there. So there's a lot to be said about that. And in addition to that, also the moratorium for layoffs for the airline industry expired on September 30th. So many of the large airlines announced that they would be laying off employees, and these they've been announcing that ever since the beginning of July, because part of their PPP loans that they received and the government assistance that the airline industry received required them to keep their staff in place through September 30th. That is no longer the case as of now. Without having another economic stimulus in place or any other PPP loans provided for the airline industry specifically, this leaves an additional round of people subject to termination.
We're going to take our first break, but before we do, I have to say one thing. I'll be remiss if I didn't, and that is it's time is up in terms of registering to vote. If you have not registered to vote, you've got to do it today. If you have not updated your information in terms of your correct address, your even your signature, contact information, whatever, do it today after the show, please, of course. But, yeah, do it today. Anyway, the number is, if you want to ask Paul a question when we come back, 516-387-1944. That is 516-387-1944. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar. Or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Good morning and welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. It is also, because it's October, is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month, National Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and National Bullying Awareness Month, which hopefully we will get to later on in the month. But today we are talking the economy with Mr. Paul Z. Shelton of Warwick Shore. The number, if you have a question, is 516-387-1944. Okay, Paul, where do we go from here?
There's so much to digest and where to move forward from here. And certainly we are in a health-induced recession right now, which throughout the beginning of this recession, we've seen a lot of stark parallels to the pandemic in 1918, the influenza pandemic. At that time, the presidential regime did not want to face the pandemic that we were in. They did not disseminate information for fear that it would cause angst and cause people to panic and things of that nature. And unfortunately, that turned out to be the wrong thing to do during the influenza pandemic of 1918 and 1919. Unfortunately, we are seeing the same thing right now with our current administration. Initially did not want to release any information about the healthcare issue that was afoot, and it has ballooned and blossomed, thus to the point where it is significantly hurting the economy. So you have an administration that has produced a lot of propaganda to lead people to believe that it's safe and it's proper not to wear a mask and to truly protect yourself. And now we're in a situation where all of those that have bought into that now see the president and his wife suffering from or contracting the same virus that he said was not going to be contracted, you know, because he's protecting and because he's doing a great amount of testing. So this could potentially lead to a large amount of fear and capitulation in our stock market right now, as many are unsure about the direction of our economy as of right now and what exactly is going to happen in an interim day to day. We've never been in an election season, or we've never been so close to an election where we've had the unemployment rate as high as it is right now. We've never been during the pandemic of 1919. We were not in an election period where we were changing the regime and at the White House and across Congress. So this is something that is very new. This is uncharted territory as far as when it comes to investing, the investment landscape, and how to position a portfolio. And it's also uncharted territories from a socioeconomic standpoint in our country, from a healthcare standpoint in our country. And there are so many things that are still in question right now. So there is a lot to digest and a lot to be aware of. And I think you said it very, very, very well before we went to break there. If you have not registered to vote, now is the time to do so. There is not a reason to wait. And surprisingly, there are still a lot of people that are not registered to vote. I was with someone earlier this week who told me because of the way their country is moving now, this is his first time registering to vote in his life. And I was surprised to hear that, but this is his first time registering to vote. And many of us that are, you know, could be listening to this call right now and that are across our country have not registered to vote because they feel that our vote is not important, that it will not be heard on election day. But please understand that, you know, your vote counts. Your vote counts and your vote is needed. And it's your right to express your opinion whatever way you believe. So I encourage everyone to do just that.
Well, I mean, the thing is, whether if you're uncertain about whether or not it counts, wouldn't you rather have gone ahead and done it and it didn't, you know, versus not doing it and finding out that it counted in the best or worst way possible?
Correct.
You need to go ahead and do it. And the reason I'm emphasizing this today, because I haven't really hardly been on live all week, unfortunately, just so busy. But I needed to get in this week because this is the last day, pretty much. You have to do it 30 days ahead of time. Well, the election is November 3rd. It's October 2nd. I know you can go do it at your DMV. Or go downtown if you live in Orange County, Cayley, but wherever you can look up your supervisor of elections office online. There's no excuse. We don't live back when I was a child and you couldn't do stuff online and when there was no internet. Yes, I'm that old. But, you've got no excuse now. You can find all the information out you want on the internet. You can go and get it done. I don't know if they're staying open late, but usually a lot of those offices stay open until at least 5 o'clock. You got to get it done. You just have no excuse, because if you don't do it today, you've got diddly to say it on November 3rd. That's all I got to say.
Correct.
But anyway, we've got all of the, I guess you could say, affiliated stuff that comes with the economy, I really want to put into perspective what it means when we find out overnight the president of the United States and his wife has COVID. And I know one of the things I was watching Good Morning America this morning, and one of the things they talked about was two factors that really made him predisposed. In addition to not wearing a mask, but the fact that he's 74 years old and he's overweight or obese even. And so that puts him in a precarious position, whether you like him or not, I don't wish bad things on anybody, whether I like you or not. I'm not wishing, like I always have said about, like, my mom had dementia, and I loved her dearly. I wouldn't wish dementia on my worst enemy. I would not wish this on my worst enemy because there's just too many other things to deal with. This is not something that you take lightly. And a couple of things that they mentioned this morning, in addition to how it affects him, is how it might affect the change of the chain of command. You know, God forbid something happens to him, you know, medically. And I'm not saying that it's a bad thing, whatever the chain of command is. What I'm saying, it's a bad thing that he has COVID. Chain of command is weird. You know, Vice President Pence could end up being president. I mean, from what I saw, if Vice President Pence had been affected and the president had been affected, then Nancy Pelosi would have taken a step up. So how does this uncertainty affect the rest of the economy?
It really throws a monkey wrench into everything and creates a lot of questions. Like you said, that chain of command, if it were to play out, and we pray that it doesn't, we pray that there's a speedy and healthy recovery for everyone that, you know, contracts the virus. But if it does play out, there could be a significant shift in policy and how things are done and how things are manifested within our economy. Election season without a pandemic is typically met with volatility in the stock market anyhow. There's always uncertainty about who will win and what the tax code would be if one party wins versus the other and what other economic fallout that could come about with regulations and things of that nature. So there's always an additional amount of volatility that is born during an election season, but being in a pandemic heightens that, you know, to the ninth degree, and then having the leader of the incumbent, you know, the president of our country contracting the virus, you know, takes it up an extra notch on top of that. So it's really a situation where it creates a lot of unknowns, a significant amount of unknowns for many people. Will we have a pure election season? Will there be any more debates? I don't know if we even had the first debate, honestly. You know, after watching it. But will we have, you know, more debates? Although we do have the capabilities of Zoom, WebEx, and the ability to broadcast through social media, there can still be somewhat of a debate. But will there be efficacy of health to allow the president to debate, you know, and things of that nature? And will there be a motion to delay the election because there may not be a proper period to be able to campaign because of COVID-19. So there are a lot of things that are in question. There are a lot of things that are unknown right now. And really, we're all kind of learning on the fly, unfortunately. And that's where we are. I mean,
2020 has been a year of unknowns, I mean, to be honest, in large part because of the pandemic. But, I mean, we've changed just about everything. We changed how our schools operate. We changed how our workplaces operate. We've changed even how we socialize. And there's been, you know, I hate to say it necessarily in this way, but good and bad. I think Netflix has been a big beneficiary of COVID. And although I have not watched Netflix yet, but yeah, I know. You all know I'm technologically challenged and all kind of stuff, and I rebel. I'm a big rebel. That's just me. I don't know that. But, I mean, it's just, you know, you have the things that you predict. For example, like you said, election season, you predict that. But then you have COVID, which out of the blue, that even changed, like, the way interest rates, I think, were going at one point. There were predictions in terms of interest rates climbing and stuff like that, and at one point going up to 5.25%. And you know, I'm talking in real estate terms, in terms of housing, and now we're in the twos in some cases. It's changed a lot. It's changed. I'm sure for some people on a personal level, it's changed in terms of whether or not they can be sure that they're going to have a place to sleep, you know, a roof over their head, something to eat. You know, it's changed how we deal with our older people in the nursing homes and stuff like that. It's changed so very much in terms of how we live. So, but anyway, we're going to take a break. But before we go, and you know, Paul, because I initiated this, I've got to touch on it, and we're going to touch on it a little bit when we come back, because we got other things that we got to touch on. But because you and I have talked in the past about tariffs on China and stuff like that, and I've expressed my, disappointment in terms of finding Made in America stuff in things that I like and so much Chinese stuff, I started something that I kind of issued a challenge to you a little over a week or so ago about cleaning out your closet, maybe. I mean, there's other things you can do, but I was just aiming on the closet. And we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, how much stuff you buy from China when we come back. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs. Dedicated to serving our families.
Hi, I'm Tim Garrison. You may know me as Timmy G. Yeah, I know. It's been two decades, but I want you to know I'm back in the arc with you. And I've got a mix of music that can help you relax and chill out. It's smooth. It's relaxing. It's chill out jazz. The soulful mix of smooth jazz, soul, and smooth R&B. So join me every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. to midnight, on K-Ham Radio.
Are you chillin'?
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. It is the first Friday of the month, and that usually means we have Mr. Paul Z. Shelton of Warwick Shore Advisors on with us to talk about the economy. Now, I'm going to touch on this just, I guess, for this particular segment, because I feel like I need to touch on it. Otherwise, I'll be chewing on it for another month. So, but and I'll tell you, I've been kind of dealing with this anyway, but this really got me because I ordered some stuff from a place online that I will not name because I'm not trying to get sued or anything. I'm just trying to be sort of fair. But it was a company, I've been looking for cotton clothing, you know, I live in Florida, I try to be comfortable and everything, but I also was looking, you know, for something that I liked, that had a little style or something, or just something comfortable. So I went to this website, saw some clothes, I shop clearance, I just always do, you know, unless there's something I absolutely have to have. Went to this site, found a lot of stuff on clearance, told my husband about it, he ordered a few things to his clearance stuff, not as good as my clearance stuff, but anyway. And I ordered a couple of pillows that I had not seen anywhere else. Well, got the stuff. They said it was going to take 20 to 25 days because it looked like the clothes were supposedly from Europe, at least according to the website. Got it. First of all, the pillows weren't pillows. They're pillow cases or pillow covering. They weren't pillows. So I still had to go to Joann's and get the inserts for the pillows. So that kind of ticked me off, number one. Number two, even going by the size chart, none of the shirts, my husband ordered three shirts that were more expensive. One of his shirts are more expensive than all the stuff I ordered combined. But anyway, it was still on sale. None of his shirts fit him. I'm having to give them to my cousin. And I'll tell you about why about that in a minute. My stuff is snug. The reason I'm giving them to my cousin, because they really don't have the return policy, which I guess I did not check like I usually try to check stuff in advance. It's one of those things where it's cheaper to keep the clothes than to return them because they're only maybe going to pay you for shipping. And I found out the site is, even though it looks like it's Europe-based maybe, It's a Chinese company. It is. Mm. It's a Chinese company. And I'm not totally against China or the Chinese or whatever the case may be. But I have, as I've told you before, Paul, you trying to buy bathing suits, trying to buy other stuff, you know, and I've started looking at labels. I've started doing that with food anyway, so I started really doing that with clothes. I'm like, you know, the stuff is made in China. You know, it's hard to buy stuff in the U.S. So I started, I'm like, okay, I'm going through my closet. I kind of need to anyway. I got the COVID weight. I had some weight before COVID anyway. But I got the weight, and I was like, okay, let's look and see what we really, you know, what's made in China, what that we really have to keep, have that we're going to keep, and what we're, you know, what we can get rid of and maybe take to the consignment shop or donate or whatever. And that's what I'm, that's the other thing. If you're going to get rid of the clothes, find what you can get out of them, you know, for the last time, whether it's a donation that you can write off in taxes or a consignment shop or whatever. That's just my thing. But anyway, I ended up with a pile of clothes on my sofa and still counting a little bit. You know, and it's, and actually probably my husband would have wished I'd have done it earlier, because then he wouldn't have had to repair so many closets every time we moved into a new place or a new room, because he's always had to repair my closets, because the pole is broken, always. And I use those multiple hangers. I use the multiple hangers, so it makes it, he keeps saying, stop buying them because it makes stuff so heavy. So I told him I would not buy any more multiple hangers. But, yeah, I ended up with all these clothes, and I'm like, I'm not even going to look at the other stuff in my house that might be made from China. But I probably would have had more if not within the last year or so, a year or two maybe, that I started looking at labels when I was buying clothes and stopped so much buying stuff from China. And I, the reason I bring this up, because, you know, we're talking about tariffs and stuff, and I think it's really kind of up to the American people to really say, okay, if we're not being dealt with fairly, you know, in terms of the exchange, in terms of what we give and what we get, you know, then we have to kind of take action of our own. And that might mean boycotts. That might mean, you know, whatever it means. But, you know, I, like I said, I've taken action of my own. You know, one of the things this has caused me to do is, I mean, I was in World Market the other day, which I love. But I got some stuff because I liked it. I liked it before I went to the register. I looked at where it was from. And I started putting stuff back on the shelf. I'm like, you know, if it's made in China, I'm not buying it. I'm putting it back on the shelf. And I spent a lot less money than I probably would have. But anyway, I issued this challenge to you, Paul. So tell me about what happened with you.
So with me, I went through my closet, and I'm probably like you, where I have a lot of stuff, mainly a lot of ties. That's what I have the most of. My wardrobe, because I'm in business so much now, has shifted to be kind of boring, I should say. So I have a ton of shirts, dress shirts, that are all the same. I buy them in bulk, a lot of white shirts, blue shirts, and suits. Kind of buy all similar things in the same, you know, different patterns sometimes, but the shirts pretty much the same. Slacks are pretty much, you know, somewhat the same, and khaki pants. So I know I sound like a very, very boring guy after saying that. But I do dress, do have some style with my dressing. But I did notice, and through this exercise, I noticed that a lot of my stuff is from China, but a good portion of things right outside of China, but still kind of in that the Asian Pacific theater. You know, I had a lot of things that were from India, some stuff from Indonesia, Sri Lanka. And I did notice, and I had not paid attention to this before the challenge, I did notice that there were a handful of suits, and that may be because I get them all, a majority of them, from the same retailer. But there were a large amount of suits that were made in Mexico, you know, originated in Mexico, which caught me off guard because I did not expect that at all. I expected most of the stuff to be from Thailand and China, honestly. And actually, I had a lot of stuff that was from Thailand. a lot of stuff that was from China, but not as much as from Thailand. So I would say I was kind of diverse across it. It wasn't all specifically just in China, but it was a good portion of things were in China. And I haven't went shopping recently for myself or since last week, you know, because I rarely do that. And the only time I really shop, honestly, is if I need another dress shirt once they get worn out in the elbows or something like that. But when I do go back, I'm kind of going to be looking at the tags now differently. Instead of just looking for the size and the style, whether it's slim or, you know, classic fit or things like that, I'll be looking at, you know, where it was made. And kind of taking note of that. So it was kind of significant, you know, a neat little exercise. I did not, you know, calculate up the dollar amount of how much it would have generated back to China versus, you know, other countries, other United States, or things of that nature. But you know, most of the stuff that I have in there are suits, which are, you know, you buy suits, they're going to be a little bit more expensive. So that may skew the true data of what it would be with just regular retail clothing and things of that nature. But, yeah, you know, I could see if I were to empty out my closet with everything that was made in China, you wouldn't notice the gaps. I would say that. It would be noticeable.
Yeah, because I started to notice, I'm like, gosh, there's sunlight in between my clothes.
Yeah.
And the thing about it, too, is, you know, like you were talking about, you didn't put a dollar amount. I was, you know, and I didn't put a real dollar amount, but I looked, I'm like, okay, if I put a dollar, if I added a dollar for each item, that could be a tank of gas. That could be a dinner out. That could be, you know, and then, it, you know, your tank of gas, my tank of gas, somebody else's, you know, it would add up. I think it kind of add up. The other thing that I thought about, and I don't know if you can help me with this, but I'm ready to do this if someone is willing to help me. That is, I believe there should be some sort of bill, maybe an e-commerce bill or some sort of bill. I don't know who you contact to get this done, where it is imperative that they put. And some companies do this and some don't, but I think it should be mandatory that. Use on the descriptions of terms of the background of the product that you're buying, that you should find out where it comes from. You should be able to find that out, and you should be able to find that out without any difficulty at all. If it's made in China, it's made in China. If it's made in the U.S., it's made in the U.S. I don't care. If I, you know, because my thing is this, if it's made in China and I really like it, I'm going to get it anyway. Okay, so don't get me wrong. That's not the point. I'm not necessarily boycotting all things China, you know. Otherwise, I wouldn't have any bathing suits, I don't think. But, you know, because I was buying them for the gym, and that's when I kept noticing. And I'm like, all the bathing suits are made in China. And my thing, too, you know, and y'all know I'm a little quirky, but, you know, I'm not really a big jeans person, you know, especially blue jeans. But that's what I find when I'm looking for Made in America stuff. That's tends to be what I find, and I'm not, and that's not necessarily all made in America either. I would like to see some stuff made in America that has a little bit more style and pizzazz and stuff, you know, but most of the stuff that I find that's made in America is relatively plain, and I have a hard time with that. I went shopping the other day and really did try to buy something that was made in America. And also, too, like I said, I'm on my kick where I'm trying to buy less polyester, and there just seems to be so much of that out there. But anyway, that's another whole other thing. But I wanted to talk about it because I wanted to say that, you know, we've got to be a little bit more discriminating in how we shop, whether it's the clothes that we put on our back, whether it's the food that we eat, because that's how I really started looking at labels. It's food that we eat, you know, things that we ingest, the clothes on our back, the cars that we buy, whatever it is, you know, even to the people that build the houses that we buy, because we've got a lot of people building houses out there. We still want to make sure that it's quality. Don't be hesitant. You're spending your money. It's your money. You work hard for your money. Do not be hesitant to be discriminating with your money in the terms that you want quality for what you, the money that you earn. That's my whole kick right there. So
I agree.
Paul,
I agree with that one.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So we're going to take our break. I had, like I said, I had to at least spend a segment on that. I wanted to really go at this because it was just that, you know, significant to me. But I did want to at least do that. So we're going to take our break. We're going to come back and talk about the rest of the economic news when we get back. If you have a question for Paul, the number is 516-387-1944. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Swiffer Sweeper cleans so completely, you'll never go back to your old broom again.
Now a song for Mary from a Mr. Broom.
New Swiffer Sweepers redesigned to clean corners, and it traps and locks 50% more dirt, dust, and hair than a broom. So go all the way clean. New Swiffer, clean better or your money back, guaranteed.
This is Douglas Dobbs, owner and funeral director at Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community with two generations of family funeral service. With the recent addition of my son Brandon, we are here to take care of the needs of Central and West Orlando. From simple cremation to a full burial, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here to help you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720, Dobbs. Dedicated to serving our families.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. You've got a little less than 15 minutes if you have questions for Paul Z. Shelton of Warwick Shore Advisors. We're talking about the economy. It's the first Friday of the month on the GPH. The number is 516-387-1944. Also emphasizing for the last time, because you can't do anything about it after the day. If you want to vote on November 3rd, got to register today. You got to go do it today. Anyway, so, Paul, you said we had a lot to unpack, and I know I took up the last 15 minutes, but go for it.
Oh, no worries at all. Yeah, one of the things I wanted to mention, or at least bring light to, is the conversation around economic stimulus and the efficacy of it. And do we really need more stimulus in our economy right now? Because as we get more stimulus and as more money is disseminated within the economy, it's not free. Someone has to pay for it. And what are the effects and the long-term ramifications of taking on that debt? It won't affect our generation, but unfortunately it's going to be very dire for those generations to come, because they'll be repaying it. And, you know, kind of speaking to another topic, or dovetailing on the China conversation, which China is a large purchaser of much of U.S. debt. So there's kind of a concern about that as well. But just specifically on the forefront, the economic stimulus battle between both chambers of Congress continues. As of right now, most recently, as of last night, the House of Representatives did vote for and pass their HEROES Act 2.0, which was a $2.2 trillion stimulus plan that's being put forward to provide economic stimulus in the form of direct payments, state and local government aid for those PPP loans and a lot of schools and employers out there to be able to have the proper PPE that they need. So that was passed last night. It did not garner bipartisan support, unfortunately, and something that we saw that was different than when the CARES Act was passed is before it was voted upon, there was bipartisan buy-in from both sides of the aisle, as well as from the White House, before a vote was levied on it. We do know that Steve Mnuchin and Nancy Pelosi did have extensive talks and conversations this week about everything. And we seem like we're making significant progress. It just is still up in the question as to whether something will get done before the election. Initially, back in May, we know that the Democrats in the House of Representatives passed the HEROES Act, which was a little over $3.4 trillion worth of economic aid that went to the Senate. The Senate chose not to do anything with it. The Senate countered more recently in August with a skinny bill, with a skinny bill that was $500 billion, and that did not gain enough traction within the Senate itself to move forward. Unfortunately, we are still in a bad situation. The most recent counter by Republicans was $1.6 trillion, which is still, you know, a bit of a ways away from the $2.2 trillion. Although they're moving in the right direction, there's still some ground yet to cover. And while those negotiations are going on, some of the things that we mentioned earlier are still taking place. We're starting to slide in the wrong direction when it comes to our unemployment scenario in this country. We have a lesser amount of new hires, especially at a time where you see the opposite. We're in that holiday hiring phase and holiday hiring season where we typically see, you know, many retailers, many companies ramp up to take care of that holiday surge. It does not look like that will be the case as of right now. We're not going to get a bump in employment from that.
A lot of those companies aren't even existing anymore, or filed bankruptcy or whatever. So I mean,
they have.
But you really don't. Some of the companies that were around, you know, and some of this began before COVID, because we were talking about the so-called retail apocalypse. You know, in our industry here in Orlando, being very much a service industry, and people come here and they go to the outlet malls while they're on vacation or whatever, a lot of that has suffered. And a lot of people, yes, have turned to shopping on the internet. But if you're without a job and worried about where you're going to live in the next month or so, you're not shopping.
Correct. And you're not stimulating the economy. That's the reason I believe that we are in need of another round of stimulus. And one of the things that reared its head in the economic data over the last couple months is that there was a slight tick down, or it flatlined, and then there was a slight tick up by 1/10 of a percentage point this most recent month, in the month of September, but that has to do with the average hourly earnings. So whenever you see the average hourly earnings move and fluctuate around, especially when it fluctuates in a downward motion, that means that Americans in this country are making less money overall. And you have to sit back and think about, why is that the case, and why is the data showing that we're making less money overall, but at the same time, our average work week has increased to 34.7 hours. So we're working longer, but we're making, you know, roughly the same or a little bit less when you factor in the average work week. And the reason that is because we're starting to see a different form of layoffs now. Many of the layoffs that took place early on in the onset of the pandemic were in the service industry, a lot of bars, restaurants, bartenders, those servers that were making a lower wage at that time. Those have since returned at some capacity. Mm-hmm. However, what we're seeing now are more executive-level layoffs at this point. We're seeing more of those tenured employees that are making a larger salary. Those that are making $85,000 up to $150,000 are now being laid off. This subset of the population are typically homeowners, which unfortunately, at the time where we're having an expiration of the eviction moratorium, we're having that subset of the market who really need that, those homeowners are getting into a situation where they may have to dip into those retirement savings. They may have to dip into, you know, that rainy day fund to really just make it by in the interim. So, you know, there's a lot to really grapple with on the economic standpoint, and it's driving a lot of what the market is seeing now. We did see a large recovery in the stock market you know, from April going into the end of July. But it was kind of riding the wave of the economic stimulus. And since the stimulus has been digested and spit out, and we're at a point now where there's more that's needed. I mean, you can't solve a health-related issue by throwing money at it. You really have to solve the health issue, which is the coronavirus. But in the meantime, the economy needs some sort of crutch to be able to stand upon to move it forward through where it currently is right now. So the hopes is,
right,
and the hopes are that we will receive some sort of economic stimulus. The chances of receiving that within the next 31 days before election are very, very slim, especially with the way the talks are right now between the chambers of Congress. However, this is an election season. They may try to budge and push something forward so that one side or one party will look like the knight in shining armor. And whether or not that happens is still yet to be seen.
Yeah, wow. Okay. And the thing that I was thinking, I lost my train of thought, but the airlines, that's another area that affects our economy here because, like you were talking about in terms of the work week and things changing, like my husband was working a lot of overtime prior to this. And he works at a company that depends on the airline industry. And they laid off about, I guess, a third of their employees at his company because the airlines weren't, you know, doing their normal thing. And so now, you know, he was talking the other day about, you know, well, you know, good thing we refinanced because, you know, it was hard enough, you know, being able to do the mortgage and everything like that. You know, because now he does not have that overtime to count on.
Correct.
You know, so it's been great to have him home, but you know,
yeah.
At the same time, you know, it's like the income has changed, and you have to kind of readjust and everything. You know, God has blessed us, but you know,
it
there
has.
Are people
and
out
it,
there, yeah, yeah.
It has, and it's changed.
Really suffering.
Correct, and it's not just, you know, one segment of the market. You know, the way I liken it to right now is, you know, when the recession hit, it necessarily did not feel like a recession, at least not from an economic standpoint, because over the last 10-plus years, we've saved so much money. The stock market has done well that our 401ks, our IRAs, our investments, and our bank accounts looked really well. But, you know, that the hole was poked in the bottom of the bottle there, and everything is starting to slowly seep out, and it's starting to garner speed and pick up now. You're seeing it across all industries, even in the nursing industry, which my wife works in the nursing industry. There's a lot of layoffs that are taking place there. Those per diem hours are being cut. So a lot of nurses are losing, you know, those luxuries in that respect as well.
Yeah, and the healthcare industry, especially here in Florida, is one that you would not think would be suffering that much because of all of the elderly population that we have. You know,
correct.
That are in need of good healthcare and stuff like that. But, yeah, I mean, we saw it early on, people, nurses that were saying, you know, they had their hours cut. So, well, Paul, how do we get in contact with you?
You can reach us at warwickshore.com. That is our website. That's warwickshore.com. You can follow us on YouTube and on Instagram under the same names, as well as you can reach us at our phone number, 407-493-6288.
And we have posted some of his information on G's Power Hour Facebook page. Thank you again, Paul. Really appreciate the time. Have a blessed weekend.
Thank you so much. You as well.
And talk to you all again, hopefully on Monday. It's Mortgage Monday, the first Monday of the month on G's Power Hour. Have a very blessed weekend. Be safe. Be well. This has been G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. And please remember, all willpower comes from God. Take care.